Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a closer look at something fascinating, the science behind why some things just catch on, you know?
Exactly. We're moving past the usual suspects, like, oh, quality or price. Important, sure, but they don't tell the whole story.
Right, because you see so many businesses fail, even with great products, and then something else, maybe something totally unexpected, just explodes, like those Livestrong bands or certain diets.
Or even weird YouTube videos sometimes, and often with hardly any advertising budget. It seems random, but it's not.
So that's our mission today. Uncover the real mechanics. What makes something contagious?
Well, the research points very clearly to one core idea: social transmission, basically word of mouth.
Word of mouth. Okay.
Yeah, and get this, the data suggests it drives something like 20 to 50% of all purchasing decisions.
Wow, that's huge.
It is. And maybe more importantly, it's considered at least 10 times more effective than traditional advertising.
10 times. Okay, hang on. If it's that much better, why are companies still pouring billions into TV ads and billboards? Inertia.
That's part of it, yeah. And control, maybe. Ads are predictable. You buy the space, you run the ad. Word of mouth feels messier.
Less controllable.
Exactly. But its power comes down to two main things. First, it's just more credible. You trust your friend telling you about a restaurant way more than a paid actor, so whatever.
Absolutely. Friends don't usually have an agenda, or at least not a hidden commercial one.
Right. And second, it's incredibly targeted.
Yeah.
Think about it. You wouldn't tell your friend who hates skiing about a great new pair of skis. You tell the friend who actually skis. It naturally finds the right audience.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So if word of mouth is king, the old thinking was always find the influencers, right? Like those 1 in 10 people who supposedly tell everyone else what to buy.
Yeah, the messenger focus. But the sources we're looking at really push back on that. They argue it's less about who says it.
And more about what is being said, the message itself.
Precisely.
Yeah.
The focus shifts to engineering the message, the product, the idea, so it's inherently shareable. It doesn't rely on finding some magical influencer.
You can make anything contagious, even something boring.
That's the claim. And the classic example, the proof of concept really, is BlendTec.
Ah, the blender guys. Right. Selling commercial blenders about as unexciting as it gets, you'd think.
Totally. Until their marketing director, George Wright, saw the founder, Tom Dixon, doing these crazy durability tests, like checking pieces of wood into the
Let's
blender.
just see what would happen.
Yeah, testing the limits. And George saw him blend a 2x4 into sawdust and had this light bulb moment. He realized that was the story. Not the blender's horsepower, but the absurdity of what it could destroy.
So they launched Will It Blend, low budget videos.
Tiny budget.
Yeah.
Just Tom in his lab coat, blending iPhones, golf balls, glow sticks, you name it. It was inherently remarkable because it was unexpected.
And it went completely viral.
Hundreds of millions of views.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker. Retail blender sales jumped 700% in 2 years.
700% just from those videos. Okay, that's compelling proof. It wasn't the blender itself, it was the shareable story they created around it.
Exactly. Virality was manufactured. So the question becomes, how do we do that? How do we engineer contagiousness?
And that brings us to this framework. Our sources lay out the STEP PS principles, 6 ingredients for making things catch on.
Right. STEP PS stands for social currency, triggers, emotion, public, practical value, and stories.
Today we're tackling the first two, social currency and triggers. Let's start with number one, social currency. What's that about?
Social currency is actually pretty intuitive. It's the idea that we share things that make us look good to others.
Make us look smart or cool or in the know, that sort of thing.
Precisely. Talking about certain things gives us status. We're basically using information or products as a way to signal positive traits about ourselves.
Okay, so how do you deliberately create this social currency for your product or idea?
The sources suggest three main ways. First, find inner remarkability. Your thing needs to be unusual, surprising, novel. It has to break expectations.
Like the BlendTec videos blending things you shouldn't blend.
Exactly.
Huh.
Or think about that $100 cheesesteak at Barclay Prime in Philly.
Right. A cheesesteak is normally what? $5? 10 maybe?
Yes, cheap street food. But they made one with Kobe beef, lobster, truffles. Totally over the top. The price itself, the sheer extravagance, that was the remarkability. People talked about it not because it was necessarily the best tasting, but because it was a story.
A conversation piece you could share to sound interesting or maybe a bit extravagant yourself.
You got it. It even got media buzz. Letterman talked about it. A simpler example, Snapple caps.
Oh, yeah, the real facts.
Right. A ball of glass will bounce higher than a ball of rubber. totally random, kind of useless trivia. But opening a Snapple gave you this little nugget you could share, making you seem momentarily knowledgeable or quirky. That's social currency.
Okay, so find remarkability. What's the second method?
Leverage game mechanics. Turn using your product or service into a game, ideally with visible status markers.
Ah, like airline frequent flyer programs. Gold, platinum, premier executives.
Exactly. Those tiers are pure game mechanics. They create status levels that people strive for.
And people do crazy things for them. I mean, the sources mention people taking flights with extra layovers, spending more money just to hit that next level. It seems irrational.
It is irrational from a purely economic standpoint
sometimes.
But it makes perfect sense when you see status itself as the reward. It's not just about the free checked bag. It's about being premier executive. It's visible achievement. You can mention it, flash your card.
It's social currency you can display. Okay, remarkability, game mechanics. What's the third one?
Make people feel like insiders. This taps into scarcity and exclusivity. If something is hard to get, or only for members, it makes those who do get it feel special.
Like a secret club.
Yeah, exactly. Think of those secret bars, like Please Don't Tell in New York. You have to go into a hot dog joint, find a phone booth inside, make a call.
Just getting in is part of the experience, part of the story you tell later.
Right, the difficulty, the secrecy, that is the social currency. Knowing about it, getting a reservation, it makes you feel like an insider.
We saw this online too, right, with Rue La La.
Good example. They sold discount designer goods. Pretty much the same stuff as another site, Smart Bargains. But Rue La La made itself invitation only.
Ah, exclusivity.
And they added flash sales time limits. Scarcity. Suddenly, being a Rue La La member meant something. It felt exclusive. And those members became its best advertisers, telling everyone they knew because sharing the secret, sharing an invite, gave them social currency.
Okay, so social currency is about making people look good through remarkability, games, or exclusivity. That makes sense. Now, let's move to the second step, PS principle. Triggers. You called this the workhorse.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Social currency can be flashy, like the lead singer. Triggers are more like the drummer and bassist. Less glamorous, maybe, but providing the steady beat that keeps things going long-term.
Okay, intriguing. So what is a trigger?
A trigger is basically anything in the environment that reminds people of your product or idea. A sight, a sound, a time of day.
So top of mind leads to tip of tongue.
That's the essence of it. Things that are easily brought to mind get talked about more often.
And this leads to a really counterintuitive finding, doesn't it? About interesting versus boring things.
Yeah, this one surprised me too. You'd assume interesting things get more word of mouth. Like you go to Disney World, you tell everyone.
Right, it's remarkable. Social currency again.
Exactly. It gets immediate buzz. But what gets more ongoing? Consistent word of mouth over time. Often, it's the boring stuff that's frequently triggered.
Like Cheerios.
Believe it or not, yes.
Yeah.
Research suggests people talk about Honey Nut Cheerios more often than they talk about Disney World.
How is that possible?
Because Cheerios is triggered every single morning for millions of people at breakfast time. Disney World, maybe once every few years. The frequency of the trigger matters hugely.
So when you're trying to make something contagious, you need to think about its habitat, the environment where people encounter it.
Precisely. You need to design triggers into the environment. Michelob Beer learned this. They had a campaign, "Holidays are made for Michelob." Didn't really work.
Why not? Seems reasonable.
Holidays are too infrequent. How often is it a holiday? Not often enough to build a strong association. So they changed it.
Yep.
Weekends are made for Michelob, and sales went up. Why? Because weekend is a super frequent trigger. Happens every week.
Ah, okay. So the trigger needs to be common. Can you create a trigger for an existing product?
Absolutely. Look at KitKat. Sales were kind of flat. They wanted to boost them. What did they do?
I feel like I know this one. KitKat and...
Hofi. They ran campaigns explicitly linking KitKat bars with coffee breaks. Have a break, have a KitKat with your coffee.
And coffee is a very frequent cue for lots of people, daily, even multiple times a day.
Exactly. They essentially attached their product to an existing high-frequency trigger in the environment. And it worked. Sales increased by about a third. They built a new habitat for KitKat.
That's clever. So triggers aren't just about getting people to talk. They can actually prompt the behavior itself.
Yes, that's a crucial point. Accessible thoughts lead to action. If something is top of mind, you're more likely to do it.
Like the healthy eating study in the cafeteria.
Right. They tested different slogans to encourage eating fruits and vegetables. Generic "eat healthy" messages didn't do much.
But what did work?
The slogan that tied it to a specific trigger. Each and every dining hall tray needs 5 fruits and veggies a day.
Linking it directly to the tray you pick up.
Yeah. And even though students thought the slogan was super corny and wouldn't work.
It did work.
It worked incredibly well. Students exposed to the tray slogan ate 25% more fruits and veggies than the control group. The physical tray acted as a constant, unavoidable trigger right at the point of decision.
Wow. So the context, the immediate environment, is incredibly powerful.
It really is. And it can even sway things like voting behavior. There was a study looking at an election in Arizona in 2000. There was a ballot initiative to increase funding for schools.
Okay.
They found that people who were randomly assigned to vote at a school were significantly more likely to support the school funding initiative.
Just because they were physically in a school building when they voted?
Seems so. The difference was estimated to be over 10,000 votes. The school environment itself acted as a trigger, making school-related thoughts more accessible, making them unconsciously more favorable to the funding.
That's kind of mind-blowing, the power of these subtle cues.
It's called contextual priming. The environment primes certain thoughts and behaviors.
Okay, so wrapping up these first two principles, we need social currency to make people want to share, to make them look good.
Right, give them the motivation.
Yes.
Find remarkability, use game mechanics, create exclusivity.
And then we need triggers to keep the idea alive, keep it top of mind, connected to the environment so people are frequently reminded of it.
Exactly. That provides the ongoing opportunity, the reminder, top of mind, tip of tongue. They work together, but they are distinct tools.
Like salad toppings, as one source put it. You can mix and match.
Yeah, you don't need all 6-step yes for everything, but understanding them helps you engineer contagiousness.
Yeah.
For anything, really, blenders, cheesesteaks, even nail salons.
Right. So the tendency might be to focus only on making something cool or remarkable, the social currency part, the flashy front man.
But we can't forget the rhythm section, the triggers, that steady beat is just as essential for long-term success.
Absolutely. So the final thought for everyone listening, think about something, you know, maybe a product, an idea, a cause that's valuable but just isn't getting talked about enough. What's a frequent everyday trigger you could link it to? A time of day, a common object, a routine activity? How could you subtly weave it into people's daily habitat to keep it top of mind?